This podcast is a production of Schweitzer, a United Methodist Church, transforming lives by making disciples of Jesus Christ.
In tonight's Hometown Heroes Report, meet an amazing young lady who serves as an inspiration to others.
Yeah, this 13-year-old did not want birthday presents for herself. She instead wanted something that would help other children going through some frightening times in their own lives. Our Melody Chapman reports she wants to comfort children in foster care.
Today, 13-year-old Diana Hamlet is a happy, bright, beautiful young lady. But her life began with incredible challenges.
I was born on October 23rd, 2001. I was a 26-weeker.
Diana was born in California and later diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Her biological parents eventually ended up in Arkansas. At age 5, she was placed in the foster system.
I was taken away from my home because of domestic violence.
When the officers took the frightened little girl from her home, they gave her a stuffed animal. It became the one constant in her life.
It actually made me feel special and a little bit safer. So I was actually quite comforted whenever I held it so tight.
At age 8, Diana's life changed when she met her soon-to-be adoptive parents, Clay and Tina Hamlet. She was adopted at age 10. Diana's home is full of love and laughter, and everyone says her heart is incredibly generous. For her 13th birthday, she didn't want presents. She wanted stuffed animals to give to other children in foster care. She gave them to the Greene County Sheriff's Department.
I decided to bring stuffed animals for kids so they can feel comforted whenever they're taken out of their home, so they don't feel scared like I was whenever I was a little girl.
Sheriff Jim Arnott says Diana is a true inspiration.
I just think she's fantastic. It's a great testimony to what a young child is not just thinking about herself, but thinking about others at that age. With the challenges that she has in life and has had in life, to put somebody else before her is just amazing. It just speaks to her character, and she's going to do great things when she gets older, you can tell.
To me, it means that I've done something good in the society today and that I can do anything else for other kids to make them feel better.
She plans to do a lot more for other kids in the future.
Bless her heart, a lesson for all of us, right? Well, Diana collected 50 stuffed animals, and already at least one of those animals is comforting another child.
I'm Bob Cassidy, the pastor, and I welcome you to worship this morning. I'm glad you're here today. Wasn't that a wonderful video? Diana Hamlet is a part of our Schweitzer family. We claim her. Clay and Tina are there as her parents in worship today. And it's a moving story about how a person in life can get a rough start. And a rougher start than most of us can begin to think or imagine. And how that she can use those wounds and those experiences in her past and move herself with empathy and compassion for other people. And I love the story how that she takes the asset of a birthday and makes that into 50 gifts. So 50 different benefactors will receive those stuffed animals, foster kids in the future, but who's the big benefactor? But her friends who get to be involved in the giving as well. I was visiting with Clay, her dad, and he was telling me this week that he had had breakfast with a guy who brought him 40-pound bags of toys in response to the story, so that you get this idea that generosity is something that flows, that willing and generous hearts is something that happens to us, that we get to be a part of, and it gets to be something larger than life when we get into that spirit of generosity. Today, we're going to be talking about two different faith communities. I'm going to be talking about the faith community of the people of Israel in the wilderness. I'm going to talk about how what happened to them is what's also happening to us as a faith community at Schweitzer. So before we get into the Old Testament story of Israel wandering its way through the wilderness, let me just give you the backside story here just for a moment. The nation Israel had spent 430 years in slavery. Remember that. 430 years in slavery in Egypt, trying to make bricks out of straw. And God rescued them out of that slavery under the leadership of Moses, and he leads them toward this land that's promised them. Now, they don't start out with warm and generous hearts. In fact, God gets them to the sea, and they start complaining about, "Have you left us here to die?" And God parts the waters. And then the people are hungry, and they complain to Moses, and they say, "Moses, you know, at least we had bread to eat in the flesh pots of Egypt." And so God sends them manna, flakes that look kind of like frost. It's the first example in the Bible of frosted flakes. And so they're given this manna in the wilderness. And they're told very clearly, guess what? When you take your buckets out, just gather up enough manna, a certain portion for every person in your family. Now, if you gather too much up, whatever's left over the next day is going to turn into maggots. And sure enough, some of the people get all they can accumulate. They want to keep their buckets full all the time. And whatever's left over the next day turns to maggots. They had a real bucket mentality in terms of getting things for themselves. They were complaining about how they didn't have any meat to eat, so God sent them quail. I love the scripture that says that quail came out of their nostrils. They were given so much quail to eat. They were complaining about how they didn't have any water to drink, and God gave them water from the rock. And then when Moses goes to get the Ten Commandments, they rebel against Moses, against God. They go to Aaron, Moses' brother, and say, "Here, we're going to give you all our gold and all our earrings, and we want you to make some other gods for us." And I think how oftentimes I can take my gold and my silver and I can give it to anything or anyone, or I can make consumerism my God rather than give that to the God of heaven and earth. And so all this has happened, but something changes them. Before we read these verses in 35th chapter of Exodus, we're told that God had told them, "I want you to build a tabernacle." It wasn't a real building. It was a tent meeting. It was a place that they could pick up and go. "And I'm going to dwell there in the middle of you in this tent of meeting." And something happens to the spirit of people in this story when they're given the opportunity to give that this tent of meeting might become possible. Let's look at these words together from Exodus 35. "And Moses said to all the congregation of the Israelites, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing and generous heart.'" Whoever is of a willing and generous heart. It's a free will offering. Okay? No one's obligated here. "Let him bring the Lord's offering, gold and silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet stuff, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins, tanned red, and skins of dolphins and porpoises and acacia wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for fragrant incense, and onyx stones, for other stones to be set for the ephod and the breastplate." Then all the congregation of the Israelites left Moses' presence, and they came, each one whose heart stirred him. Each one whose heart stirred him up, and whose spirit made him willing, and whose spirit made him willing, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the new tent of meeting, for all its service and the holy garments. They came, both men and women, all who were willing-hearted, all who were willing-hearted, and brought brooches and earrings and nose rings and signet rings and armlets and necklaces, all jewels of gold, everyone bringing an offering of gold to the Lord. So here's the invitation and here's the response. The invitation was all who came with willing and generous hearts. And the response was, and they came. Whoever's heart was stirred and everyone's spirit was willing. They gave more than enough. Something happened to the Israelites. They'd gone from this needs-based, what's in it for me kind of mentality in life, and they were filled with a generous and willing spirit, and they gave and they gave and they gave. And the scripture says that they gave more than enough. In the next chapter, they were told they had to even stop giving. Well, let's think about this in terms of what it means to be a part of a willing and generous community. Because I think what's happened to the Israelites and God transforming and changing their life is truly what's happening to us as a part of the Schweitzer family. And I want to talk to you today about just some of the things that's been going on just the last few years in this congregation, where we are understanding that this is not about us, but this is about all of us. And it's about not just people in this church, but in this community and in this world. Yesterday, about 150 of us gathered for Friends Against Hunger. And Friends Against Hunger is a great organization right here in Springfield. And I love how that they partnered, where they sent 300,000 packages of meals to Liberia yesterday. 300,000 that were packaged right here in Springfield for patients suffering with Ebola in Liberia, because the patients in the hospitals there have nothing to eat. And over 1 million meals will be packaged this weekend, sent out. And Schweitzer, as a congregation, is privileged to support this ministry financially as well. 10 days ago, I spent a Thursday night, started out at Fair Trade Market over in the Outreach Center, and $7,000 was raised for artisans around the world, people who are struggling to get an income, where people came and purchased items, and that was sent on to folks throughout the world because of the generosity of our people coming together, working, and hosting that. And then I walked across the parking lot downstairs in Memorial Hall for the first graduation ceremony of Jobs for Life. And these are the first 5 graduates of our Jobs for Life program. These 5, in this case, 5 men gathered for 8 weeks with their champions. And I have been to a lot of graduation ceremonies, haven't you? Some of them drag on a little long. I have never been a part of a ceremony that I enjoyed more. There was a lump in my throat as I heard these 5 guys give their own witnesses of what this meant to them, and also saw the bonding that had taken place between their mentor, their champion for this congregation, and what had happened in the course of that relationship, and how that relationship can continue on into the future. And our goal is to have 4 of these sessions so that this time next year we'll have 50 graduates. 50 people right here in our community who have gotten a grasp about how to obtain a job, how to be more gainfully employed, how to learn more life skills in life, and how to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. It's awesome, awesome ministry. You know, one of the most important ministries that happens on this campus is the giving and the generosity that we provide for Church at the Center. And Church at the Center meets and gathers every Sunday night in our Outreach Center, and there's about 100 people over there. And I'm reminded that every Sunday evening they have a meal, and many of those people that have those meals, that's probably going to be about the best meal that they have that whole week. And I love the way that this small congregation with not a lot of means have raised $5,000 of their own this year to give to a mercy fund, and 90% of the people that have received money have a relationship with this congregation. So you begin to get this theme that this is not something we're doing for others, or we're not doing this to the poor. We are doing this with people. We're having a relationship with people. And these people are learning to come into a faith relationship with Jesus. And many of them have already had Jesus in their life, and they're bringing Jesus to that faith community. Church of the Center helped raise $600 for New Beginnings, which is a ministry in this community for helping men to get up on their feet. So I love the way that generosity continues to flow, and one thing we do leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. You're asked next week to bring back this grocery bag, and you know, we have 1,300 different individuals that benefit from food. These people walk into our building every month so that they can receive groceries, but also they can receive prayer. And we are continuously thinking of ways that we can enhance this relationship where we can bring the physical and the spiritual and the relational aspects all together as one. And what we're doing is also very global, not just with Friends Against Hunger, but I just got an email about 10 days ago from our sister church in Mozambique. Do you know that we support a church in Mozambique? And in this church, we helped dig them a well. A well was dug a couple years ago because of a benefactor of this congregation. I got a letter from Pastor Regina that tells about how there's a drought going on in Mozambique. And the amazing ministries that's going on through this congregation, just as people come into our food pantry for food, people walk miles and miles and miles for water in this congregation. And they're making new disciples in an impoverished country facing all kinds of different evils. And now they need money for a house for the pastor. And if anybody wants to write me the check, send me the money, give me the money, we're going to do that. In fact, I had $500 just show up after the 8:20 service. You don't want the 8:20 service to do you guys, do you? So generosity flows and continues in life and ministry. What's our next picture? Kids. One of the most important things that we can invest in this community, in our church, is kids. This is a picture from Vacation Bible School. There's hundreds of kids, not just that week, but hundreds of kids every Sunday in worship, in a secure space, learning and growing about Jesus. But it's not just about helping us to help the kids. It's helping us to help the kids' families. How do we help you as parents and as grandparents to become the spiritual mentors in these young people's lives? That building, that place over there, is used 6 days a week through our Grow to Know preschool and other ministries. And what Tim Smith is doing in terms of leading our youth, and there's something very significantly happening in a lot of our teenage lives from 7th to 12th grade. Yeah, they gather for worship. They're involved in their groups and classes. They're learning to serve. Many of them serve throughout this building every Sunday morning. But there's a sense that God is doing something and shaping the minds and hearts of these young people. And certainly worship, what we do in gathering together on Sunday morning worship, in our traditional worship, in Renovate over in the Outreach Center, in our time of worship here. We hear, as we gather every week as a staff, we ask the question, what's God been up to in the last week? And we hear these testimonies, we hear these weekly stories of how God is transforming lives and changing people's spirits and helping people to come and know Jesus and become a disciple of Jesus. 1,000 of you have given $2 million this past year to make that happen. You are a generous people. And it is fun to be a part of a place where that generosity builds and grows. And I am struck when I look at the stories of Jesus, how that Jesus was able to use everyone of any age, of any background, with any amount of gift, and transform and use that for his glory. I love the story of how he took a little boy's fish and loaves, lunch, and he used that, multiplied it to feed 5,000. I love the story of how he stood in Simon's boat and used it, pushed it out from the water to teach the crowd, and then turned to Simon and helped him to understand how he was to be a fisher of men. I love the story of how when he's going into Jerusalem, he he asked the disciples to go ahead and find this man who's got a colt that has never been ridden on. Bring that colt, bring that donkey to me. And Jesus uses that as he enters Jerusalem for the final time. I love the story of the widow who brings her two last coins that she ever has, the two last coins she has, and puts it in the treasury. And Jesus says, look, this woman has given more than those who've given all this amount because she gave all she had. Now, in none of these instances did Jesus say, are you sure you want to do that? He doesn't say to the kid, you sure you want to give up your lunch? He doesn't say to the lady, do you think that your two coins in the whole scheme of things is going to make that big a difference? No, he commends every gift. He uses every gift. And to me, the teaching of the gospel is clear. No matter who we are in life, boy or girl, young or old, man or woman, male or female, rich or poor, whoever we are, whatever we've got, we all get to practice generosity. We all get to give. That is a part of our spiritual nature, and it's our privilege to do so. And I'm always inspired by people that I've known over the years. Velma and Erwin Nall. They were a part of Schweitzer for nearly 60 years, Velma was. Erwin for 50 years before he left us about 10 years ago. Velma just passed. We had a great celebration of her life here in this sanctuary last Monday. And they were people that were generous. 20 years ago, when this church didn't have a lot of resources and we wanted to start a new ministry called Stephen Ministry, which is a ministry of lay people who are trained to care and to walk alongside people who've been going through bereavement and loss, significant loss in their life. The Nalls quietly gave that money to the church, seed money to get that started. When Erwin passed 10 years ago, Velma was a recipient of a Stephen minister, and she said to me, Bob, isn't that just like God? You cast your bread upon the water, and it comes back to you. That's what happens, friends, when you're caught up in a spirit of generosity. And I want to say something. Those of us who are sitting here, we are standing on the heads and shoulders of people who've gone before us. And God in every generation is going to need philanthropists, people with considerable means who are generous and able to give freely to the Lord's work. I love Meredith Roberts' devotion this week and all the devotions were written, but she talked about how that her dad taught her as a kid that a Christian is to be like a hose and not like a bucket. That the resources that God gives us isn't about just to fill up our bucket, because a bucket is designed to hold everything. You know, if all our resources and all that we accumulate in life is about filling our bucket, I'm here to tell you that that bucket is going to turn to maggots, just like man in the wilderness. But our giving is to be like a hose, and that God uses our resources that flows in and through us to the places and to the people that he wants it to go for the glory of God. So we're called to be like a hose and not a bucket. I want to thank you for being a generous people. Because of you, we're able to experience things as a part of the kingdom of God that I've never seen in 35 plus years of ministry. It just keeps getting better and better. And because of your continued giving, it's going to keep getting better yet. Just like last week, we asked a couple of people to share their witness of their motivation for giving. I want to invite you to watch this video of a couple of people in how they're motivated to have willing and generous hearts at Schweitzer. Let's watch.
As a financial planner, I realized that in order to do anything, it takes resources. Whether those resources are financial or time, our efforts, our prayers, all of those things have to be brought together in order to accomplish anything. And I believe that that's what we need to do to show our gratitude for all that God has given us.
God wants us to joyfully do it with gratitude, to say, yes, this is yours. This is where it needs to be.
I can't think of a single charitable organization where more of the dollars are invested locally than right here at Schweitzer. I have realized that I am so grateful for all that God has given us that I really want to give back, and by doing so, that's going to give an opportunity through our ministries for someone else to hear the word and accept Jesus.
I feel like giving and monetary giving can sometimes be one of the biggest, one of the hardest things for a lot of people to do, and can be one of the biggest struggles and barriers between our relationship with Christ. And so I feel like through giving financially, I'm able to kind of lessen one of those strongholds that can be a barrier. Through my giving, I see so many outreach ministries and so many people being reached on a daily basis. I'm out in the community a lot with my job, and it's amazing how many people I talk to that have been touched by Schweitzer, either just at a surface level in the church itself, or out in the community, you know, people that have been in need at the food pantry. Being over at Renovate, we see, you know, more and more people coming in there and feeling comfortable there. And so I feel like my giving has somewhat helped to grow that. I would say if you're struggling with giving, I would say I'm in the same boat as you are. But it's something that I know that through continued giving and through habitual giving, I feel like my relationship with Christ just grows every day exponentially. You'll see the rewards both in your personal relationship with Christ and through the ministries that Schweitzer is offering.